Rachel Vera Valley has come in to talk to us about the October anti-smoking campaign, which is known as Stoptober. So it's lovely to have Rachel today. We've got Rachel for the next, say, three quarter of an hour to an hour, and we'll also be playing some favourite tracks. So good morning, Rachel.
Good morning, Eileen. Thank you so much for inviting me over.
No problem at all. It's lovely to have you here at Radio Halton. Now, we know there's a lot to get through this morning. It's a big subject, as we know. And as you were mentioning earlier to me, there's no television campaign this year. So the more we can get the message out, the better, really, because obviously the TV campaign was always a big part of Stoptober, wasn't it, in the previous years? So before we start, do you want to perhaps tell me a little bit about your background and how you came to work in this area?
Yes, so as you've said, I'm Rachel. I'm one of the FY1 doctors currently on my public health medicine rotation. So FY1 means that, normally it's someone who has just finished medical school and are in their first year of practicing medicine.
Yeah.
I've taken a slightly different route because after graduating, I went on to do a master's in public health
and
a few public health related roles, mostly in health intelligence.
Yeah.
So coming back and starting off in public health medicine, it's fantastic. And I get to do things like this, come and speak to people like yourself and work on exciting and very, very important campaigns like the Stop Smoking Stoptober campaign.
Yeah. It's all very interesting work, isn't it, that you're doing? And obviously you've come back home because you were telling me you were originally in Edinburgh studying and now you've come back to the Northwest, which is where you were from originally.
Yes, that's
which
right.
Which is lovely. So let's start. Key points of this really, really sort of crucial campaign.
Absolutely. So I'm hoping by the time we finish our conversation today, the key point that I'll be able to get across to you and your listeners is the impact that smoking has on a smoker, not just for themselves, but those around them and their loved ones. And also we'll talk a little bit about the benefits that stopping smoking will lead to. But I really want to emphasise all of the harms and the impacts this will have. Yeah. Also, we can't forget that there is help available to you. Mm-hmm. So people who are thinking about stopping smoking and wanting to quit, there is help available to them. They don't need to do this alone. Yeah. And there are lots of different options that we'll go through as well. And then finally, if you're thinking about quitting, I'll signpost you to some places where you could go to for some more support.
That sounds brilliant, Rachel. Thank you. Right. Key points then. What does somebody say, for example, if somebody sat in our clinics today at Halton Hospital and they are desperate to stop smoking, they've tried and they want to give it another go, especially during campaign month, what is their best thing to do first?
Yes, absolutely. So if you're currently in the hospital, if you're an inpatient, you can speak to one of the nurses or the doctors. So not just if you're admitted, but if you're visiting the hospital today, speak to one of the team who are looking after you at the moment. So there's a lot of different options of nicotine replacement therapy and medication, as well as behavioural support that's available to you. If you're not currently a patient, if you're a visitor or you do know someone who's smoking, you can also contact smoking cessation services directly. So there's a few different options. If you live in Halton, the Halton Health Improvement Team do offer a Halton Stop Smoking service. So I have the details for them and I'll share them again later on.
Brilliant, but, thank you.
You're very welcome to contact them on hit@halton.gov.uk, or you can call them on 0300 029 0029. So that's our local Halton Stop Smoking Service team. You can also go to your GP or drop in at your pharmacy, and then I'll share those details again with you.
Brilliant. And what we can do as well on the Radio Halton website, I'm sure we can get that information put on our website as well for people to have a look at later on. Right. Facts and figures as well. You were talking when you came in about you've got some stats to share with us.
Yes, so I think maybe a lot of people do already know that smoking is one of the biggest behavioural cause of a preventable illness and death in England. So every year about 70 to 80,000 people in the UK die from smoking, sadly, and many more are living with debilitating smoking-related illnesses. So if we're looking at some statistics, the 2023 figures, so these were published by the Office for National Statistics just a few days ago, It shows that 11.9% of people aged 18 and over in the United Kingdom are smokers. So that's approximately 6 million people. That's a lot of people. And if you imagine yourself in a group of lots of different people, then that's 1 in 8 people in that group would be a smoker. Mm. Over the years, we have noticed or seen this decline, the percentage of smokers has been going down, but we seem to be stuck around this 12 to 13% figure, and we can do a lot better. And because we're in Halton, I want to zoom in on the local area as well. So across the northwest, 11.8% of people aged 18 and over are smokers, but in Halton it's 14.6%.
Oh, so, right, so we're above the average at Halton.
That's right.
Right, okay.
So there was an increase in the number of ex-smokers in Halton. So that went from around 23% to 29% in 2023. But the proportion who've never smoked has decreased. So although there are more ex-smokers, it looks like there are also more new smokers in Halton. So in other areas, we're seeing things go more in the right direction or the direction we'd want them to go. So we have to look at promoting it a little bit more in Halton.
Is. Can I just ask about those stats then, Rachel? Say, for example, in schools, is there anything done to... Because there are still school children who do start smoking, obviously, at a young age, and all these messages don't seem to be getting out to them, do they? And is there any sort of campaign work that goes on in local schools or colleges around stopping smoking?
Yes, so I think there should be some lessons. For example, I think children have PHE lessons or health and education lessons. During that, topics like smoking, alcohol, they should be discussed. What is also concerning at the moment for children of that age is vaping. So we're talking about this a little bit earlier.
Yeah, we spoke about vaping. That's another totally sort of issue that's sidelined everybody, really, hasn't it? In the way it's taken over and there's such big business now and children are so into it, aren't they? And they've never smoked and all of a sudden they're vaping. And
yes, so children who might not have ever gone on to smoke, they might be starting to vape now. So that's something that... So I know in Warrington Livewire, I do go into schools and provide education and tools to discuss smoking with children. But vaping should also be discussed going forward if it isn't already being discussed.
Yeah.
So we know that, sadly, that vaping or e-cigarette use is highest among younger groups, so amongst the 16 to 24-year-olds. So this figure has been increasing. They've seen the highest increase. And when you talk about children who are 11 to 17-year-olds, so it's illegal to purchase the vape if you're under the age of 18. But actually 1 in 5 11 to 17-year-olds have tried vaping in 2024. That's a very high number.
Extremely high. It's worrying, isn't it, going forward, how it's going to pan out for the future for youngsters if they're vaping already. There's a lot to talk about, isn't there, today? Not just about vaping, obviously, but the smoking campaign. But I think we'll have a little bit of music. You've picked some tracks, Rachel, so I think we'll start with your first one. This is Bill Withers. To you.
Thank you very much. So next, if you don't mind, I'd like to talk about some of the harms that are associated with smoking. So I'm sure some people already have some ideas of what the effect of cigarettes might be on the body. So let's just start by looking at what you might find in a cigarette. So a cigarette contains thousands of chemicals, and when you inhale the smoke from the cigarette, at least 70 of these do cause cancer. So we'll talk a bit more in detail about some of the chemicals that people might hear about a bit more often. So we have nicotine. So this is that highly addictive substance which causes the cells in the brain to release dopamine. So you can think of dopamine as the reward or the feel-good chemical in our bodies. If you're having a puff on a cigarette, it takes just a few seconds for that nicotine to reach the brain. And so it teaches the body to repeat this behavior, and then you get the so-called reward. And then people who smoke will start to miss the effect of nicotine if it's not in the system. And we'll start to experience cravings for it. So even if you're in certain situations, for example, when there are other people around you who are smoking, that can cue this this craving to smoke. Yeah. So these are called smoking cues. So another substance people might have heard of is tar, that's in tobacco smoke. So this is a sticky, cancer-causing substance that stains your fingers and your teeth, and it collects in your lungs as well. So it increases your risk of lung diseases like emphysema, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and this is a progressive and disabling condition that limits the amount of airflow in your lungs. Mm-hmm. Tobacco smoke also contains carbon monoxide. So this is a poisonous gas, and this reduces the amount of oxygen that you can carry in your blood. And because your blood is what transports oxygen to all of the organs and cells in your body when your heart beats, your organs aren't getting enough oxygen. And this leads to your heart trying to work harder to supply the body with the oxygen that it needs. And so it increases the risk of heart disease and stroke.
It's quite terrifying, really, isn't it? Just the last sort of minute of you talking, going through chemicals and the way they get straight to your brain. And how long do you think it is before, say if somebody starts smoking, they've never smoked at all, before that addiction kicks in?
Well, because it is such a highly addictive substance, and it just takes a few seconds for the nicotine to reach your brain and start having that effect by releasing that dopamine. So it doesn't take too long, because initially when people do try smoking, they might not find it a very pleasant experience.
Imagine at first.
Exactly. And a lot of people, especially some of the patients that I've spoken to, they might have tried that cigarette because they've been in a social setting, either peer pressure or peer influence, and just feeling like they want to fit in.
And that is a big issue for kids at school, isn't it? That if they're in a gang and all the gang is smoking and you're not, straight away you are out of that group, aren't you, and you're not included. And there's a lot of peer pressure, isn't there, especially for young children to smoke.
Yes, exactly. And so it doesn't take long for that person to become addicted because they're repeating this behaviour, but also because of that nicotine. And you mentioned schools as well. It's not just children in school settings that might feel that peer pressure. One of the patients I was speaking to talked about their workplace culture, where smoking is very much the norm. And they were actually quite nervous about quitting smoking because that might exclude them from that.
Yeah, like
that
the smoke shelter gatherings and things like that. It's the same, exactly the same situation, isn't it, really? But obviously you're in a work setting rather than school.
Exactly. Yeah. So the key is being able to support people and finding the most appropriate and best suited options to them to help them to move away from that setting and find other social support as well, so that they can not only quit smoking but maintain that.
Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, right. That alone, it absolutely terrifies the life of you, doesn't it, listening to it? But obviously when you are a smoker, you don't think about the damage. You just think about, well, I am a smoker, I enjoy smoking. As we were talking earlier, the photographs on the back of cigarette packets now are absolutely horrendous, aren't they? But if you're a smoker and you're addicted, again, it's not that easy, is it, just to walk away from it and just to, you know. So thankfully at the moment there is, in the last sort of recent years, there's a lot of support now, isn't there, to help people?
Yes, that's right. And some of the photos that you've mentioned, they're quite graphic. And I mean, this is the consequence of smoking. Sadly, the main causes of death caused by smoking are due to lung disease, cardiovascular disease and cancer. Someone who smokes has a 15 times increased risk of lung cancer compared to someone who doesn't smoke. Mm-hmm. And it's been linked to lots of other cancers, so throat and mouth cancer, bladder, kidney, and so on. And I've mentioned a few different conditions and cancers there, but smoking affects your entire body. It can lead to other diseases like diabetes, problems with poor circulation, blood clots, heart attacks, and so on. The list goes on. Yeah. And I should also mention the importance of smoking in pregnancy, because it impacts you throughout your pregnancy and afterwards as well. So smoking sadly increases the risk of miscarriage and stillbirth and causes reduced growth of the baby and premature birth. Yeah. So, I mean, I've talked about a lot of the harms there. Yeah. And I think it's really important to highlight that it's there's hope. It's possible to get support to move away from this.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people who have stopped smoking, they report to feeling healthier and happier. Not to mention it saves a lot of money, but also your life expectancy increases. And the earlier you stop, the better. Yeah.
And isn't it a case where you hear a case is worse off? People have been sort of almost lifelong smokers and then they stop smoking. And within a few years of stopping smoking, the lungs have not sort of healed, but sort of recovered, in that they're not in the same condition they were. And it doesn't mean to say because you have been a smoker that you are going to become seriously ill at some point later in your life, and that, you know, you're never too old to stop.
Absolutely. You can stop at any stage, because when you stop smoking, your risk of lung cancer stops increasing. So you're preventing further damage from occurring to your lungs, to the rest of your body. The rate of the progression of any chronic obstructive pulmonary disease is also slowed considerably when you stop smoking. And within that first year of stopping smoking, your risk of heart disease decreases by 50% within that first year.
Gosh, that's an amazing statistic. Unbelievable.
So obviously, the earlier you stop smoking, the greater your reduction in the future harms that will occur. But that's why, no matter what age you are, it's always worth stopping.
It's definitely, you know, if you're in your 70s, 80s or even older, it's worth having a go at least, isn't it, to try and kick the habit if you're able to.
Absolutely.
Right, it's 25 past 11. We'll have another track that policies and help out there for people.
Yes, so we can talk about some of the government policies and regulations that are in place. So we're just having a little chat about some policies that you might already be familiar with. So over the years, tobacco control policies and strategies have aimed to prevent the tobacco industry from promoting cigarettes and making cigarettes less attractive to young people particularly. So for example, we're talking about how cigarettes were displayed for sale. So you might have noticed that they're now behind screens or cupboards, and so their visibility is reduced. And there have been changes to the packaging as well that we've talked about. So now we have pictures of the damage it can do, and also plain packaging. So this is called standardized packaging. And we have policies which aim to reduce the environmental exposure to tobacco smoke. For example, in 2007, we had the ban on smoking in enclosed public spaces. So this would include workplaces, public transport as well. And in the 12 months following the implementation of this law in England, there were 1,200 fewer emergency admissions to hospital for heart attacks.
Gosh, and that's just in the first year. That's incredible.
Exactly. And this has also led to a reduction in childhood asthma. And of course, there's been an increase in the number of people who cut down or quit smoking. So another policy you might be aware of is to protect children from exposure to secondhand smoke, smoking in cars and vehicles where there's a person who's under 18 present. That's banned, and that was banned in 2015. And you might be aware, Halton Hospital is a smoke-free site everywhere in the hospital and on the grounds as well. So there's been many policies over the years, and there's also the smoking and the tobacco and vapes bill that's also being discussed.
It's come on a long way, hasn't it? When you think back, I didn't realise it was as far back as 2007 that they brought in the smoking in public places ban, and now they're talking, aren't they, about possibly for the future looking at an outdoor spaces ban. So it's getting harder and harder for people to smoke, isn't it, when they want to go out. And but, you know, and I suppose if you're going to think about giving in and giving up, rather, and sort of, you know, giving it a try, it's never been better to do it, really, has it? With all the, you know, the government policies in place, but also all the help that's out there for people.
Yes, absolutely. So those kind of policies are not only to reduce visibility and reduce exposure to environmental smoke for all people. So it reminds me of one of the patients I've spoken to recently who did successfully quit smoking for 11 months. But then they came back from holiday, walked through the duty-free section and saw the cigarettes there.
No.
So that actually started them smoking again. So that visibility is very, very important.
Yeah.
So you mentioned some of the help that's available. So for that patient I was just speaking about, for example, or anyone who is thinking about stopping smoking, the most effective way to stop smoking is to use a combination of smoking cessation medications, so nicotine replacement therapy or the specific medication, and combining that with behavioral support, so that's dedicated smoking cessation services. So someone who attends a smoking cessation service and uses the medication as advised is 3 times more likely to be successful in their quit attempt compared to someone who's going cold turkey without any support.
Doing it all by themselves, which can't be easy. And I mentioned to you earlier, when my mum and dad gave up in the 1970s, there was no such thing as support and patches, and they just give up, and I don't know how they did it, really.
It is really, really difficult to. Yeah. But the good news is that there is help available, and there's a lot of different options, and you can find what works best for you.
Yeah.
So some of the options, like I've mentioned, include nicotine replacement therapy. So these type of products, they deliver only the nicotine and not the harmful substances found in cigarettes.
Yeah.
Because we mentioned earlier, nicotine is a part of the cigarette that causes the addiction.
Yeah.
So this helps to relieve the withdrawal symptoms. And it's important to be aware that a lot of people might not realize that people who smoke don't use enough NRT, nicotine replacement therapy, or for long enough in their quit attempt. So what works better is using a product that works quite quickly with a slower acting product.
Yeah.
So that fast acting product includes things like lozenges, gum, spray, inhalators. And then you can combine that with a longer acting product like a patch.
So they all contain a sort of a low level of nicotine.
Yes, and that helps give that relief from cravings and withdrawal symptoms as well. So just because I've mentioned some withdrawal symptoms, I'll maybe go into what some of those might be. So you might have cravings, you might feel restless, have some trouble concentrating or sleeping. You might feel irritable and anxious, and it could increase your appetite and cause weight gain. But many people do find that the withdrawal symptoms disappear completely after 2 to 4 weeks. And ideally, you would have that treatment with the nicotine replacement therapy for at least 8 weeks, but some people need longer.
Yeah. So, for example, if somebody wants to give up smoking, how long do you think, what is the sort of average where, you know, oh, actually, I've cracked it now? Does it take some people longer than others? Is there sort of a few weeks or a few months, and then you find that people do tend to stay then not smoking?
So it's really different for different people, and I think just do what feels best for you and comfortable for you.
Yeah.
And try not to compare yourself with others, because all of our bodies are different.
Yeah. And of course, how much you've got in your system anyway, and how much you smoke day to day. And
absolutely. So that's why your GP or your doctor, your nurses, and the dedicated smoking cessation services will really be able to help you and support you through that, and also find what options are best for you.
Yeah.
So we've talked about the nicotine replacement therapy. Mm-hmm. There's also prescription-only medicines, which don't contain nicotine, but reduces that desire to smoke. And combining all of these with behavioural support or local support is really, really effective.
Yeah. Is there any, are you aware, Rachel, of any support groups that happen as well, you know, where people who want to give up smoking as well as using, say, the patches or vapes can actually go and chat with other people? Does that happen, or is that something that's still perhaps a long way off?
So that does happen, and your local smoking cessation service should be able to signpost you to groups as well that do that, and they would offer one-to-one support as well as group sessions. So there is the use of technology as well nowadays. So there are stop smoking apps or text message services. So these are thought not to be as effective as that dedicated smoking cessation service that's delivered by trained practitioners. But we do need more evidence on that. But I have spoken to a patient who did find that app useful just to track and motivate herself on a day-to-day basis in her quit attempt. So it could be helpful for some people, but we're looking forward to more evidence about that.
That's interesting, isn't it, to see how that works long-term. And do you find with the campaign this month, obviously it's October, as we said earlier, there's no television coverage now because of budgets and what have you. Do you get any, in your area, do you get any feedback or sort of facts and figures back to how effective the whole campaign's been?
So we're still quite early on for this year's campaign. Yeah. But looking at previous years, so this campaign has been going since 2012, and it has helped thousands of people, if not more, actually have a quit attempt. Yeah. So just to talk about, I suppose, the basis of the campaign. So it runs every October for the month of October, and it launched last Tuesday, 1st of October for 2024. So this is the annual Department of Health and Social Care's Stop Smoking Smoking Cessation campaign. So over the years, there have been lots of media campaigns, and although we don't have a TV advertisement or a wider media campaign this year, a lot of people are aware of Stoptober from previous years, but also from social media. So social media posts, other posters, printed and digital posters that you might see possibly in the hospital or elsewhere in your GP practices and other health centres. So it has been very effective in supporting people and encouraging them to quit, because that's what this month's about, encouraging and empowering people to quit.
Yeah, and it's nice to do it sort of not doing it in January, isn't it, where, you know, people are sort of under pressure to do something about the health, you know, sort of give up smoking or...
So vapes were actually created as a stop smoking tool. So evidence just show that compared to smoking tobacco, vaping isn't as damaging and poses a fraction of the risk that smoking tobacco does. So a lot of people do find it to be an effective way to stop smoking. But however, vaping isn't risk-free and it isn't harm-free. Mm-hmm. And earlier we were talking about younger age groups vaping, and the health advice is clear. Young people and those who've never smoked shouldn't be vaping. But I just wanted to raise awareness, because I think some people do find it, if they use it, useful, if they're using it as a stop smoking tool. Mm-hmm. So just moving on to... what more the government and future policies and plans look like, because that also touches on vaping. So in the summer, in the King's Speech, it was announced that the reintroduction of the tobacco and vapes bill was an early priority for the government. And the UK government does have a target of achieving a smoke-free England by 2030. So this means that 5% or lower percentage of the population would be smoking. So we've got less than 6 years to achieve that.
That would be an incredible figure, wouldn't it, if we could get down to that at some point.
Yes, and one of the ways in which we can do that is through the new Tobacco and Vapes Bill 2024, which is being considered at the moment. So I'll just highlight the main points from that. So what does this bill look at? There are three main aspects. So first of all, to create a smoke-free generation. So it would make it an offence to sell tobacco products to those born on or after the 1st of Jan 2009. And so we'll be phasing out the sale of products without stopping someone who's currently smoking from being able to do so. So existing legislation will be amended to make it an offence for anyone over 18 to purchase tobacco products for anyone below this age. Mm-hmm. So this is called proxy purchasing. Yeah. Another aspect of the bill would be to reduce the appeal and availability of vaping products. Mm-hmm. So this would provide some powers for ministers to regulate the flavour and the contents of vaping products, the packaging, and how the products are presented.
And that's a problem, sorry, with children at the moment, isn't it? These flavours and all these bright colours, and it's almost like they're targeting children, some of the companies.
Yes, you might have come across some of the variety and colours and different flavours that are available. Mm. So even the point of sales displays of vaping products, where they're placed, you might find them next to confectionery or places where children and young people find it very appealing. Mm. So cracking down on that as well. So it would be, it would become an offence to sell non-nicotine vaping products to someone under 18. And there will also be a ban on the free distribution of vaping products to under 18s, because currently it's illegal to sell vapes to under 18s, but there's no law in England against distributing for free samples to under 18s. And then another aspect of the bill would be to its intention to strengthen the enforcement of restriction of underage sales of tobacco and vaping products. So providing enforcement authorities with greater powers, increasing the fines, and restricting premises orders and sales orders for repeat offenders. So there are many different aspects that have been considered in this bill, ultimately to make it easier for someone to not start smoking in the first place, and therefore preventing them from becoming dependent on these products. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot planned, isn't there, for the future? And I think some of it, Tate, we were talking earlier, weren't we, about Australia have brought some rules in about outdoor smoking, and this not being able to sell cigarettes to children born after a certain age. I mean, that was New Zealand, wasn't it, who were doing a similar sort of scheme over there to try and stop children being interested from an early age. So there is a lot planned, isn't there, in the future, where the new government have a big job, haven't they, to try and rein back, especially with children smoking, the habit of youngsters getting into it.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the place it's coming from is we want to reduce the visibility, especially to children and young people. And it's not about intruding on people's freedoms, but it's about protecting people from the health harms and creating an environment where it's easier to make healthier choices. And yes, it is the person's choice to smoke, but it does affect their friends and their loved ones as well. And a lot of this has come from very clever and targeted marketing from companies. But smoking is an addiction, and our role, especially as healthcare providers, is to help people. Important to highlight this now, because there are several places that you can go to find out more information or get support. So if you're currently a patient in the hospital, you can speak to one of the nurses or doctors looking after you. You can go to your GP or drop in at your pharmacy to find out more about local services. And you can contact Halton Health Improvement Team to access their Halton Stop Smoking service. So their email address is hit@halton.gov.uk. And you can also call the Halton Stop Smoking Team on 0300 029 0029. And you can get some more free information and advice. So just if you are living in Warrington, you can contact Livewire, which runs their community smoking cessation service. So their email address is stopsmoking@livewire, LIVEWIRE, warrington.org, or you can call them on 0300 003-0818. But just coming back to Halton, in a couple of weeks, we have the Halton Health Improvement Team and their Stop Smoking service will actually be hosting a stall in the George Floyd restaurant. So that'll be in 2 weeks' time, Wednesday the 16th, and we're hoping Thursday the 17th of October
brilliant.
As well.
Hopefully we'll get quite a few visitors popping in.
Yes, please do come along and hopefully I can meet you there as well. Yeah. So just to recap, there are lots of services and medications available for you if you are thinking of smoking, or if you can help someone to think about smoking as well. So I just wanted to say that stopping smoking is one of the best decisions you can make for your life, for your health and for your future, and not only for yourself, but for your loved ones as well. Yeah. So I recently asked one of my patients this, what is stopping you from smoking right now? And I just want to leave you with that question as well. If you are a smoker, what do you think might be stopping you from quitting? Or if you know someone who smokes, how can you support them to quit?
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Rachel. It's been such an interesting hour just chatting about all of this. And it is good to know that some people are having a go to give up. And, you know, it's not easy. It can't be easy. But there is a lot of help out there for people. And as I said earlier, we will get our bits and bobs of information on the Radio Halton website as well, if anybody wants to take a look there. And, of course, even if you just Google, you know, stop smoking, there's a lot of information out there. And obviously all the information Rachel's provided us today. So thank you so much, Rachel, for coming in. It's been so good of you to pop across. And even if one or two people have took the message today, it's been worth just reminding people that there is help out there and you're not alone.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.